Okay. If that's what you want, if that's what you really, really, really want, so let's see how much passion do we have for that. Passion means how much desire for more of God, how much we craving for more of His Word, how much we getting an appetite for His things and to do His will. See, that's what determines how much you want. Now, it is sad that not everybody is looking for that because, like I said, everybody that should be here is not here. But what is your passion? Your life will testify to me what is what you really, really want. According that the way you act towards the things that you like. You know, when you love someone, you do anything and everything possible if you want to marry that person. You even make a fool out of yourself sometimes. It doesn't matter what it is. You're so in love that I have to have her. I don't care what I have to do. You know what I'm saying? You're smiling, so I guess you know what you're saying. Now, Kenny, God is the same thing. How much you love God, you know, you're sure of how much you do. You know, to get what you want. One time I said to someone, you know, when I received this message, I said, you know, I don't care what I have to do. If I had to steal the tapes, I mean, I will go that far because I wanted it that bad. So even stealing that is not okay. But if I had to have more of Him, I will do it because that is my passion. See? And your attitudes and my attitudes will show what is your passion. Do we love more of the world, desire more of the world, or we desire more of God? With the way you act, you can determine that. Because it's a time in life that you have to make a choice between this and this. Your passion will tell which one you love. You cannot love God and mammon at the same time. You will leave one. So sometimes we have to reject God just to go for only the feelings and something that will satisfy, that I know will not satisfy you to the end, because the only the one that can satisfy you is Him. Amen. Here we go again. I haven't even started. Thank you, musician. Shall we stand so we can pray? Father, we so grateful to be back together. Father, we want to be and sit at your feet and let you train us, teach us. Father, show us the way, the perfect way, your perfect way, Father. And my ways are wrong. I tried the end over the consequences and everything is just death. My way is no way, Father. Sometimes men thinks that they lean towards certain thoughts, but those thoughts will take you the wrong way. And this morning and tonight, I want your thoughts. I want your thoughts in the matter. What is your idea about being the kind of a person, a Christian that I ought to be? I don't need my ideas. I want yours, Lord. Because your ideas are life to me. Father, we thank you for those that are returned. Bless them richly, Lord. Meet their needs. In the name of Jesus, we ask you these things. Amen. You can be seated. So, as we talked this morning, you know, we have cravings, we got appetites. You know, this guy, you know, Satan had like to use it. You know, the lust of the eye. Satan will use those. The sin is still there. Amen. Your gene is still there. You haven't got rid of your genes. What you're trying to do is just trying to keep them down. Yes, and out. So you can have preeminence over that body. That's why we're here. But still, those cravings and all that stuff is way deep in there, you know. But thank God that He gave us the power to the Holy Spirit to keep all that out. But if we're not careful, Satan comes around. He's been around for quite a while, very smart guy. And he can sometimes poke here and there, you know, throw something at them to see if if he gets you. And if we're not careful, then we might make the wrong decision based on what I desire. Well, my desire is His desire. My desire is to assemble with you guys, with the body. There's something better than that. Not for you guys, you're here. That's why, because this is the best, this is the place that you'd rather be tonight. That shows your passion. See? You're not checking a box. That showed how much you love him. You don't, not the church, not the pastor, it's how much you love him. And that has to do with your foundation. God has set a new foundation. And that foundation is Christ. It's the word. So if that's my foundation and that's your foundation, my decision has to be based on that foundation, not on that old one. Because that old one can differ. We can disagree all day long. If you ask me, why do I think about? But if I ask God, you know, the word, what he thinks about certain things, you and I have to come out with the same answer. Unless you differ with me. How many gods are we serving? It is just one God, and he thought it's his word. I'm not talking about interpreting the word the way you want it to sue yourself or myself. I'm talking, if we take the word, you know, you follow the Holy Ghost, Christian, you will do whatever his will is. There's no reasoning. There's no logic. But let me see. That's what he said. But let me see what so-and-so said. No. If you have the Holy Spirit, he will guide you. He will lead you, and he will show you. That is my foundation. The rock is Christ. I'm standing firm on that solid foundation. Nothing can sway me back and forward. Not even Satan. You tired? Why don't you stay home? Or, you know, why? You know, I don't look left and right. I look at his word. You know, and I know that that word is my light. It's going to take me right to where I need to go. I will not look either way. Why? Because if I look either way, you know, there's a chance that I get swayed. Even in this message. We have one message. It's just one message. And it's one prophet. It's just one God. It's just one word. It's just one faith. It's just one baptism. It's just one spirit. That is our foundation. But how many interpretations do we have of this message? That should not be. But who am I to straighten out anybody? I know what I have believed and why. And I'm satisfied. Listen, if I can find something better than what I have right now, I leave. But you know, I haven't found nothing better than what I... The reason I'm in this church, there's many churches that are just as good. The reason I'm in this church, because I know, you know, I know in my heart that I'm closer to the real word of God in this church. If I can find another place, I'm not saying there's not another place, there's all the churches all over, that they serve the same God that I serve, and they have the same foundation. But I will not go just for the sake of changing. Because I know what I got. And in the years that I've been here, I have been better, better, better today than I was yesterday. I'm growing. So I'm not going to be swayed. Even if you tell me there's a place out there that's just as good, I say, I'm not going to change for the sake of change. The only people that do that is with... They're not agreeable with certain things in the church. But that's not what I'm here for. Amen. This morning I told you about my wife. Well, it might sound, it sounds like she's picking on me, you know, this big guy. And if I take her to the police, I say, she beat me up. But well, if I, two, beat you, or six, you know, what's your problem? You might like it. Let you beat you up. You know, if I have a chance to her to talk to you, we'll tell you the other side of the story. But you don't have a chance to sell the, tell the story. But it's just as bad. So I want you to get the point. The point wasn't so much, you know, what she do to me or what I do to her. The point is that at the end of the day, we kiss each other and we go to bed. I love her. And I don't consider anything that happened that day, well, I don't think I would like you anymore. I want to leave. I want to find another one. No. And that's what happened in church. With the problems and with everything that we have. But at the end of the day, you know, you have to love your brother. And you come back because tomorrow is a different day. And because if you forgave him and everything is straight, when I went to sleep, tomorrow, well, we start all over again. It's a new day. And I might get more of the same thing or I might get less. I don't know what I'm going to get. But one thing is for sure. I love my wife. And she loved me. And we go to bed. We kiss. And we're done. We went to the next day. Next round. Thanks. Go out fighting. No. Go out fighting. No, the thing is, church, you know, there's a lot of things going on. But if you cannot love your brother after you disagree bitterly with your brother, you are not in the same foundation I am. If you cannot see your brother after you bitterly agree with him or with her, you cannot look at his eye. You cannot even try to, you know, cross the street because you don't want to walk in the same. There's something wrong with your foundation. That is not Christ. And Christ is our foundation. Amen. So this morning, what happened this morning is this. God in simplicity. You need to take care of the smallest things. If you cannot take care of the smallest one, you will not see the big ones. We come to church and we want to see a powerful God in the big things. You know, you're not going to. But you can take care of the respect every day. You can take care of being patient. You can take care of being loving and kind and sweet. You can those are the little things that people pass by. They pass them by. So, you know, and those are the things that when they get to that gate, it will give you more trouble than the big things. But the man says, take care of the small things and what? The big things. If we come to church with that in mind, I expect God to do great things. In the meantime, you come to church. What happened this morning? Nothing wrong with you guys or me. That sometimes we come to church not prepared. You had an argument in the parking lot before you came to church. You didn't make it right. And you expect the glory of God to show. You're going to come in pretending that everything is all right. Those little small things will keep the Spirit of God back. Well, I was impatient with my husband, my wife, or my mother, or my father. Then you just dismiss it because you think it was okay. And then you come to church, and then you want the move of God. It is the small little things that is keeping this congregation to get what they need to get. When you go home, think about the little things. Tomorrow, when you start living your life, think about the little things that's happening in your journey every day. Because those are the ones that is going to give you the trouble. A lot of little small amounts to a big thing sooner or later. We talked about respect. We talked about patience and tolerance. We talked about imagination. Cast that thing out. You don't need it. You need his mind, not your mind. So when we start imagining things in church, well, what happened? Those are little things. We actually, Satan knows what the little things are that bothers you and bothers me. And he likes to, he knows that he cannot get you. He knows you believe this message. He knows he's not going to stop you. He knows what God is doing. But there's some little things that he goes on there and like to mess with. To just to throw you off. Because if we don't make those things right, then how do you expect the move of God? But everything is all right. I mean, I love God. I come every time. I do this, I do that. But what about, did you ask your wife for forgiveness before you came in? Brother Brown says, make sure you make everything right before you come to those doors. Because if you don't, God will show it to that prophet. Because God has showed that prophet what is in people's heart. So he said, before you come through that door or to the line, actually, that's what happened, to the prayer line, make sure your life, you know, make sure you make things straight with God. And I tell you the same thing because Brother Branham says, it is going to come the day that sin will not come through that door. Not that you're doing nothing sinful, but any little thing that you're harboring because you think it was all right and it's okay and it's normal, it's going to hold everything back. See? So before you come through those doors, make sure everything is taken care of. Okay? I don't say do not. I mean, if you have to argue with your wife or with your brother, but make sure when you come through those doors, you took care of that. Sure. I mean, you don't have to kiss your brother, but you can kiss him in the cheek. You know, a holy kiss. And make up and says, okay, you like pineapple and I like cherry, but hey, that's all right. We still love each other because that had nothing to do with anything. So, small things. It's what happened this morning. It's what keeping us from actually completely entering in and have what we have need of. And that was just only 2, 3, or 4 people that came and talked to me. I don't know about everybody else. But that's some of the things that will call out. Do you think I know what happened to you and your wife out there? I don't know, but God knows. God knows if you made it right or not. I don't. Why did I preach what I wanted to preach? Because God has to get the little things out of the way before we can bring the big things. So next time we come to church, let's all examine our life. You know, through the week, look at those small little things. When your wife poke you and you just, right there, I just say, oh man, I got a problem here. God, I need some help. You know, get to praying. Why, forgive me. You know, we have to do that. Don't think because there's such a small thing that they don't matter. You know, to God, small things matter. Matter much than the big things. So, because you can do something about the small things. See, there's power in you to take care of the little things. You cannot do anything with the big things, but the small things. And God, one of these days, is going to say, come into the joy. Faithful in the what? In the big things? No, you are faithful in the what? Walk, being faithful in the small things that comes to you, to your mind, to your life, to your work, to your school. Check the smallest thing. Don't start looking for the big things, okay? Because sooner or later, those are the things that's going to stop you. Because after a while, they're going to grow on you. The Satan, you open, you crack the door just a little bit, and he put his foot there, and that's all you need. Just give me just enough room. I will squeeze in there sooner or later. Let him stop him right there. Every time you get a thought, you know it's not becoming. Maybe small thought. Well, I don't know about the sister or that brother. You know, stop it. Right there. You didn't even have to go any further. You know that's not God. Let's just love one another, be sweet to one another, respect one another, tolerate one another. And you know what? Until that day. But in the meantime, let's examine our lives as we start moving forward from today on. See? Now, I don't have nothing special. I don't have no special gift. You know, God do whatever he wants to do. The only thing I do is yield my body, my mind, everything to him and let him do whatever he wants to. It might sound and look awkward, but that's what it is. But you see, it's what it is, right? And then I don't have to worry about to explain to you anything. The Holy Spirit will do that in your life. I'm a simple person. My English is not, you know, I don't have a doctorate degree and I don't have that kind of a languages. I speak like a Brother Branham, an A great degree. I mean, I have a study. I know enough English. Technical. If we want to talk about engineering, I know a lot of technical language when it comes to that, but you will not understand it. But when it comes to communicate with you, I communicate to the simplest form that I know, and that's about a grade. You don't see me talking to you with big words and eloquence. I'm not that kind of a person. I'm not. I wanted to be. I envy something that I had to work on. People, when I see them talking, oh, man, they take the language, the words, and they stretch you apart, up and down, sideways. Yeah, they get you going and coming, and I say, man, why, God, why can't you make me that way? I wanted to be that way. I wanted to be able to talk that way. But I'm glad he didn't. The same thing with money. If I could be faithful and responsible and accountable with $1 million, I would have got it. You know, God maybe didn't give me $1 million, made me rich because who knows what I will be. But somebody else, he can trust them with $1 million because they had the character to handle that one. But not me. So just let me be faithful in my little stuff and let him be faithful because that's what he was made for. There's rich people in the message. There's people that got money. And I'm not talking about $60,000 a year, $40,000. I'm talking millions of dollars. But God allowed that because they use that money for the work of God. Maybe who knows what I will be doing if I have $1 million. You won't see me in a year, so that's all. No. I'll buy me an island and I'll go and live. No. No. See? That's why I don't get $1 million. So let's see if we can somehow wrap this up. It's getting warm over here. Hey, Brother Blunky, what happened to the air conditioning? That's me. What is the number? Wow, I am a dynamo of heat. This is what it is. See, because I'm working on getting this here. So, we talk about foundations this morning, and this all is a spin of foundation, because that's who you are, and you're going to act depending on who you are. You know, you're bringing, when you were born, I said this morning, you are a product of your upbringing. You cannot get away with that. Things happened to my life when I was a child. I was molested. And let me put it out there. We're talking about me today. When I was a child, I didn't know what it was. Sex was taboo. I couldn't ask. And I wouldn't even tell my mother. My mother to this day, I haven't even shared this thing. You're lucky I'm sharing this with you. Because I trust you. See? We in one body. Don't make any difference. That stuff is in the past. But I'm telling you, things happen to people's life that will change your life when you become an adult. I don't know what, I don't like sweets. I don't know what happened to me. What I act the way I act. You know? But something must have damaged the goods. Well, they were damaged already anyway. It just damaged even more. But you went through things in your life that maybe you even blocked them out. You don't even remember that somebody did to you. A trauma. Something happened. Look at Brother Branham discerning people's life. A dog, you know, chase you. That when you was whatever, and you got so nervous, you are just a wreck. Yeah, because God gave him the gift to look way. But see, if God would give us that kind of an unction to look, we could see a lot of stuff that you don't want to see him. But what I'm saying is, all that stuff shaped me as to who I am. And sometimes I don't know why I act the way I act. Something must have happened. And maybe a situation, even though it wasn't bad, but it shaped me. But that has to go. That is the first birth, the natural birth. And that foundation has to go, because that's no longer me. See, I've been changed now. I belong to another master. That has to die. However, that's still in you. You're still dragging yourself. You know, that old man is still dragging, you know. So the thing is to keep him down. And to keep them, quiet, shut up. When you get an idea, thought, that it's not becoming, shut up, because that's not you. That's that guy. Once I come back up. So you have to realize that whatever happened to you, it shaped your life. You need to understand. Maybe you don't need to understand what happened, but by now, with the help of God, God is chipping away things. So when something happened to you that kind of gets you going, get you out of the case, get you all worked out. Stop and figure out what is that. Why? Why? Must be something in my life that should not be there. So get to praying. Those are the little things. Get to praying. Say, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't even know that was in me. There's things now that I'm doing. Not bad, but I'm things that where did that came from? You know, when you were born in the Spirit of the Lord, like a baby, there were certain temptations and certain tests that God would not let you go through. You're still a baby. He will protect you. But when you start becoming an adult, he lets more. So now that I'm getting older, I've been walking longer, there's things in my life that I never thought about it, but they could not come out then. You know what Brother Doug says? When the devil wants to test you, and God says, I don't think he's ready for that. Not yet. But now, there's things that where is that coming from? I didn't know that was in me. Now I got to deal with another set of problems. But it was there all the time. God now is getting me ready to deal with something that I could not deal. So as you progress in this journey, there are little things that are going to creep in. And you're going to say, well, that's not me. Of course that's not you. God wants to get rid of that, because that's not you. But how is he going to do that unless he used somebody else to come and poke on you? Huh? You know, he can use your brother. He can use your wife, your children. You know, he can use anybody he wants, because that's how God, that's his program. He's not going to come in his own and say, hey, no, you are it. You're it. We are it. We're together, perfecting each other. The stones without tools. Rubbing against each other, polish them, make them fit together so when they go into that building, they what? There's not a gap in between. No tools, no noise. There's not going to be a show. We're going to be rubbing. So don't get mad at your brother or your wife. Just figure out, Lord, what's going on, you know, with me. Where did that come from? If that's it's in me, I don't want it. I don't desire it because you want. Ask him to take it away. So, talking about upbringing, that's who we are. When we're growing up, everything that happened to us, if it shaped us to be who we are today. You like it or not, that's who you are. That first foundation, you was conditioned by your mother, by your father. You were conditioned by the world, by the education, by your peers. You were shaped. Before you came into the Lord, you was all shaped. And you tell me, no, my mom was message believer, and I grew in the pews of a message church, and my dad had the Holy Ghost. Matt had the Holy Ghost. But when those chromosomes came together, those chromosomes don't have Holy Ghost because they are carnal. God that intended that's the way we're supposed to go. They're still corrupted. See, Adam and Eve, that's what happened. Adam took the wrong set of chromosomes from the wrong guy, and he corrupted God's plan. See, since then we corrupted. So today, it doesn't matter, you know, whatever we are, good, bad, or ugly, or hungry, like I said, you know, that's what we are today. But we need to examine ourselves and see, you know, maybe we cannot figure out what caused it. But when you see something acting like way, I don't want it in my life. I don't desire that in my life. I don't care where it came from. In fact, I don't even care. I just don't want it, period. God has a way to chip away all these things. The situations in life, the storms of life, the problems of life, the circumstances, they're not because God is mad at you, someone wants to kill you. God is trying to shape you up. And how he will shape you unless you got tests and truth and things like that to show who you are. Not what I am, but who you are. Right. And as soon as you key on these things, then you can start working on it. Hey, if you cannot chase 1,000, come to me. Brother, I need some help. We can chase 10,000. Sometimes you need help. Sometimes you've been praying and you can't get through. Oh, then come and ask somebody to pray for you. The Bible said the elders is faithful, you know, to be prayed. You said with the righteous man, their prayer avails much. And there's a lot of righteous men, women in here, you know. So that is our character. So we talked about the DNA this morning, and we talked about the education and our foundation. So we talked about that foundation is our character, our character, and it's a quality, it's a trait that makes you and me what we are today. But I don't want my old character. I already put up with that. I know what that can do to me. I want his character. My theophany, God's character. I need to meet that character. In here, that is what I'm shaping up to. To meet myself. My real self. Amen. This is going to stay behind. Amen. So, we talked about your first foundation. We talked about, let's see. We talked about, I didn't mention this, but a lot of people that like to do what they love, and that's become freedom. You know, when you save and you are free, then you start doing what you love. And that is freedom, because freedom is to be able to choose what you want to do. That's all what freedom. So we chose to do what? We chose to love God. We chose to do his will. That is what I love to do. But one thing is, that's not enough. Oh, I love to come to church. Good. Check. I love to use my check. I love my sister. Check. I love to do that. And I love to do this. But the thing is, loving what you do is happiness. Doing what you love is freedom. Loving what you do is happiness. So how many people are happy tonight? Because you love him to come to church. You don't love to come, but you love. you know, to come to church. And that makes you happy.
Amen.
It makes you happy doing his desire, his bidding, his will.
Amen.
See, oh, I know we have to go to church. Oh, I know we have to do this. I know how to read my Bible. I know I have to pray. You know, see, all those things we do because we love the freedom that God has given us, that we can choose to do that. Before, we couldn't even choose that, even if we wanted to. But we have to come into a position or a place that will tend to a passionate love. You know what I mean? It's okay to be in love. I'm talking about passionate love. When you cannot live without your wife or your honey or your love or your girlfriend or whatever. Not girlfriend until you get married. But anyway, that's how it starts. That's how I started with my wife. I mean, we had to call each other. We had to write letters. Hey, there was no cell phones in my time. Oh, how did you survive, brother? Like, I'm good, I'm well, thank you. No cell phones, no TVs. I mean, the TVs came in 1947, 49, the first black and white. No telephone, no cell phone, and no telephone in my house. I grew up in a house with no phones. Sister Cornelia? Hey, look at me, I'm good. How did you make it? Yeah, I made it. See? So what I'm saying is that being loving the things that we do, you know, is what makes us happy. Oh, I had to love my brother. Well, yeah, you're free to do that. But are you passionate? That's what makes you happy. So tonight is one of the things that I didn't spoke this morning. I wrote this little thing here. The things about Proverbs, I wanted to let me give you a little background on Proverbs. Proverbs are not a book that you can read like the rest of the book of the Bible. You know, when you read John, in the beginning was God and God began, and then he was rejected, and to his son he came, and they rejected him, and they loved the darkness, you know. Now, and then you get to 14, and we saw his glory, glory of the, you know, the only one, blah, blah, blah. So it's just like a, you know, nice little story going down when you read every other book. Even Genesis in the beginning. Then you go down and he created. And Adam and Eve. And you, it's continuous, you know, group of verses that give you, it documents you something. Proverbs are not that way. It is the only book that you start reading and then you get lost right after you get from one verse, one and two, because they have no grouping. Now you can group them, you know, here and find and search wisdom and you can get all kind of things, but they are not grouping in a chapter. So that is the thing with Proverbs. Proverbs is just it is like a book that has, let me see, I wrote it over here. It's a book that has short, concise sayings. Every verse is a short, concise saying for advice. Amen. By somebody else that experienced that, like Solomon, the man that had wisdom. So every time you read one, don't go to, oh, well, let me see what the one before and after said, but they're not grouped that way. You might have lucky and you find two that coincide, but that's all you're going to get. So when we start talking, you know, like tonight, our Proverbs and this morning, we had to take each one, you know, and look at it and see what the value is in that particular, you know. Brother Branham, when he spoke, he used a lot of expression. It's the same thing. Language has something, you know, it's how we express ourselves and how we understand things. But if you really, really want to understand any country, find out about the little expressions they have. And then you know what their values are and their, you know, beliefs are. Just by knowing those little things. Like, we have a lot in America. We have a lot in Puerto Rico. Tell me who your friends are and what? Tell you who? That tells you a lot.
Amen.
It's just a concise little expression or proverb, but it tells you a lot of what that person believes. If you are doing this, what he believes of you. That's all. And they also tell you how you need to walk and how to choose your friends. Wow, you can get that much just for one little. Yes. It's a very it's advice on how to walk by somebody else's experience. Ah, we have many, you can tell me 100 of them. I don't know. Brother Brown used to tell, you know, if I go to your house and I see what you're reading, magazines, he says, I know who you are and what you love. Well, that's just this little expression that comes with every language around the world. And if you understand those little expression, you understand their values. So that's what is so important in Proverbs, because when he says, wicked will not stand, and the righteous will be sure, you know, until eternal life, then it is black and white. You know, I like God. God is a binary God. There is one or is zero. The wicked will go away, will be swayed by the storm, but God will allow certain things to happen. You know what? 9/11 happened. Okay. Airplane just fell and killed people because the software was a glitch in the software. You know, bad people die, but good people die. Yeah. But at least, Brother Brown says, if I die or not, Paul says, if I die or not, you know, I will never, Brother Brown says, I cannot die no more than God can die. So I don't care if I died in an accident, in 9/11 or in an airplane, my destination is different than a wicked person. Just black and white. See? So, bad things happen to good people. But the destination, the results are very different. Are the wicked that the same thing happened? They disappear forever. In the day of judgment, that's what will be. All this thing that happens is judgment. God is judging the world. And all this thing he allowed. God is not a God of destruction. The things he allowed Satan to do. And people are, you know, tsunami killed 2,000, you know. There were some good people maybe among there. But God take care of those. I know, we know where they are. But the wicked, that is pro. And that is the difference in this verse. The advice is, you know, follow God, get away from sin. And I look for the right things. And that is the advice. So, talking about foundations again. Nothing defines a culture as distinctly as its language. And the element of a language that best encapsulate a society value and belief is a proverb. So, that's what I was just trying to tell you, that, you know, if you want to learn Spanish, learn the proverbs first. They tell you what the people believe and what they do, you know. So, a foundation is it could be an institution, but it's an institution with a system of truth. You know, a family is an institution, and it has a system of truth. The government is an institution, you know. A foundation is based on a system of what? Truth. Now, it could be good truth, it could be bad truth. Social, there's not going to be a bad truth, but, you know, not the truth and the truth, okay. So, it could be based on, I said this morning, intellectualism, or it can be based on the Word of God. That happens in the beginning, in Genesis. See, the Word of God says, do not touch. The day you touch, the day you eat, you shall what? Die. That's His Word. That's God's Word. Satan says, oh, wait a minute. No, He said that you will die. No, you will not die. If you eat, you will be like. And God, if you look at it, it's a small g. So, it's 2, 1, and 0. Either it's God or intellectualism. That's all. So, I choose His Word. That is my foundation. You know, that's what I chose to build my house. My house is my life. Based on His Word. Because when the storm comes, nothing is going to blow me away. See, because I'm anchored in that rock, in that foundation. Now, one build the house in the rock, and one build the house in where? In the sand. Now, a rock means that your values and your belief and your principle are come from the Word of God. Now, the sand is something that is not stable. That the ideas of man, that is the intellectualism, that is the reasoning, the logic. If your life are built on that, I'm going to assure you when life problem comes, that is not going to hold you. you know, your little plan that you had, your little foundation is going to crumble because it will not sustain. But the word of God forever, it says for eternity, there's nothing that can blow that away. You see, the foundation is a system of principles and values and belief. And the contrast here that we see in Proverbs 10:25 between the wicked and the righteous is the foundation. That's all it is. Two different kind of what? Thoughts. That's all it is. That's how simple it is. You know, you can tell what people believe by just what they, the way they talk and the way they spread themselves. Because that's what they believe. It just does it. Because he said, because the foolish and the wicked build their life on things that are material and temporary. That's what intellectualism do. Nothing in this world will last. The world will, one of these days, will be destroyed. It says everything will go away. But what? The only thing that will stand one of these days is his word. And whoever is standing on that word, you will be there too, eternally. Everything else, it will pass away. Only his word will remain forever. That's why the righteous, that's his foundation. See? That's the contrast between wicked. Now, this is what I was thinking also. We have the believer, we have the unbeliever, and we have the manufacturer. Right? So, God is black and white, but what is the middle? Either hot or either cold, or the middle is lukewarm. So it's a middle here. The middle is that we try, like denominations, they take the word of God, but they inject their own thoughts, their own dogmas, their own doctrines, their own creed, and they make it of none effect. They're standing on the foundation that is Christ, but they are building a denomination, they are building a life that is really not what it is. They think, oh, when the Lord, we all going to go. They think that life is going to hold what is coming. I mean, but it's not. So they make believer, what happened is, okay, I got Christ. I'm in that road. I believe in salvation, you know. But then you start injecting, well, you know, take for example the Catholic, you know, I can do my rosary. I can do my penitence. I can do this, and I can carry my amuleto. What is an amuleto? Yeah, but this is an amuleto. I don't know what that's in English, but it's a little thing, a square little thing with a string, escapulario. But how do you say that in English? Escapulary? I don't know. It's a little string with a little piece of square. In case they die, you know, that will promise them. So here you have, you believe in Christ, but you have built your home, your life, stubble, hay, and wood. And when the fire comes, if the only thing that will remain is the foundation, that's all. But the sons and daughters of God, they build their life gold, silver, you know, and precious stones. See? That's a different. You can have the same foundation, but how are you building your life? Are you building your life according to the word of God, or we are building our life according to what I think it should be? Listen, when we come, we believe this message, we should all be building our life based on this message. Why do we have so many tangents? You know, we believe in the same thing. We believe we have a good foundation. They believe there is a prophet. They believe there is a message. They believe that Jesus is the foundation. And by revelation, they believe what you. That's our foundation. But how are you building on that foundation? See? So the foundation is very important. Let me get moving here. Already, we went through all this morning. We went through this. Let's talk about you probably can find, I don't know, you can find in my notes. I'm in Matthew 16:18. I don't know if you can, yeah, somewhere. Proverbs there. That's the beginning, I think. I am way down on Matthew 16:18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, that is Christ, he says, I will build my church. Not in a human system, not in politics, not in church system, but in the revelation of the Word of God to our life. And that's what I told you this morning. They have YouTube. They have people prophesying the future. They're prophesying the past. But they don't have no idea what is going on today. God is building himself a church based on the revelation of his word to each one of us through the Holy Spirit. 2 Titus 2:19 says, nevertheless, the foundation of God stand what? Sure. You know what? I don't have no problem. Because if God said it, it has to happen. His word never will come in vain. He promised me, God cannot lie. He promised me that if I will do and I desire those things and I do what the, he says, my foundation is what? Sure. Having this seal, that the Lord knows them that are what? His. If you are his and I'm his, then our foundation is alike, and we have to act alike. See? And I said we have to look alike. We don't look alike, and we don't like certain things, but we must act like he did. And Jesus is our example. He says, and the Lord knows that who that are his, and let everyone that name the name of Christ now depart from what? If you have the same foundation that I have, iniquity means, you know, that you should not, don't do that, that, I get it. Iniquity means doing something that you know is not right or is wrong. That's iniquity. You know that this is right and not doing it. So if you have the same foundation that I have, and Christ is our rock and we anchor, then every time we have to make a decision, we think which way I'm going to go. Well, stay away from what? Iniquity. Okay, so I want to come to church. So what should I do, Lord? There's only one answer. I like God, it's black and white. There's only one answer. His answer. And the other answer don't matter. Because iniquity means to knowing what to do and not doing it. So what do you think happens tonight? How many people know what to do and they're not doing it? I know they won't like my preaching, but I'm responsible for what the word says. I'm not saying this, I'm just the messenger telling you what the word says. I told you about passion. So what is your passion? See? When the doors are open, what is your passion? That you're so much in love with God, what is your passion? So, and everyone that named the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So we are told, if you love God and you love the things of God and you desire to please God, then you do what's right all the time. Your choice is supposed to be his choice all the time. Even if you don't like it, he will still bless you. I don't care if you have to drive your car case through that door. Yes, you're going to church because that's what the Bible said. And I'm going to drag you there. I know you don't want to go. But who is in charge here? Either he's in charge or you're in charge. See? I know. You know, if we don't preach it the way it is, and it's just like Brother Brown says, I take my gloves off and we just go at it, you know. I'm not going to put soft gloves to deal with you guys, and you will not do the same with me, and Brother Doug will not do that. We need to take our glove and just this is like it is. We are too close to the end to play around with anything. We don't have enough time to redesign this again. In fact, if you miss it now, you ain't got a second chance to fix anything. We are too far. You know, at one time, yeah, when I was, starting, maybe I had a chance if I, did whatever, but I know too much now. I'm not ignorant. I forgot to present me a choice and I choose the wrong thing. That is poor, foolishness. Well, they're going to tell that I call him foolish. I didn't call nobody foolish. I said me. Me. Sorry. Ephesians 2:19-20. Now, therefore, you are not strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and all the households of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Okay? Jesus Christ himself, the cornerstone. What do you think, you know, that God brought us back through a prophet, you know, through our fathers? And it says, your heart, return your heart to the fathers. They are the foundation. Whatever God believes, that's their foundation. You are not a foundation. You are on the foundation. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. That's what our fathers, apostolic fathers, preached about in the day of Pentecost. And you have become part of the foundation, part of the church that God is building. But your foundation is Christ, what they preach. You know? So I don't understand. You know, people say, well, Brother Branham preached what Paul preached. He was an apostle. He was part of bringing the foundation. So we can stand on a solid foundation. It was not a man. It was not a system. It was not a church. The day of Pentecost, that was pure God coming down in vessels. And that is where my feet standing, in that foundation that the apostles, including Paul, even though they didn't choose Paul to begin with, they show Matthew or whatever his name, Timothy. And then they find out that, you know, God had chosen Paul. So he's part of those 12. Now, Revelation 21:14. And the walls of the city had 12 foundations. What foundation is that? And in them, the name of 12 apostles. See, they are the foundation of this gospel. God took them and honed them. And polished them. And they went, Brother Branham went to so many things that you don't even want to go through. You want to be a prophet, but you don't want to go through the way he went. He lost his wife. He lost his child. He lost his mind. And he wanted to kill himself. He had to be tested all the way. You know, the first 13 years of Brother Branham's life, from 33 to 43, 44, 46, there's nothing. The tapes. It starts in 1947. That's when he was allowed. Because the first 10, 13 years of his life was to bring them, to hone them, to shape them through the things of life, to be able to have the character to hold that word. I don't want to go for what he went through. But that kind of a position, an office, needed to be that solid. And God takes a man, lost his wife, lost everything he had. He lost his mind. He wanted to kill himself twice. But see, that was God getting rid of who? Of the man. God don't need the man. God need a vessel that is yielded completely, completely, completely. That means you have to throw yourself out completely. Cannot be in your thoughts, your idea, your reasoning. You better throw all that out. God don't need that. In fact, God don't need you. The only thing he needs is for you to yield himself, your body to him so he can use it. That man went through so much. Even in the Ohio River, you know, he's there almost dying. The engine of the boat would not start. And then God reminds him, but remember that day? What? Remember when you was there talking to your suegra, to your mother-in-law? And she said that she was not going to let my daughter go among that trash. And what did you do, Brother Branham? I didn't do nothing. That wasn't me. But see, that was a righteous man. Brother Branham was a righteous man at that point. And he could have saved the situation, see? But he won. What happened if Brother Abraham wouldn't have spoke? What would have happened to Lot? What would have happened to Job and his children? Every morning he will sacrifice and he will pray for his children. God to protect them and keep them in case peradventure they did something wrong. I'm praying and offering, interceding. What happened if that prayer would not be there? And even with prayers and everything, he took them all. God allowed that. Why? Because God wanted to find out if that man, after losing everything, you still love me. Amen. You still believe in me. Amen. Abraham has one child. Let's see his foundation. And 12 years old, he says, Abraham, you don't need you to take that child. We know what's happening. This is the shout of Christ. But you know what happened? He takes him over there. He didn't argue. See, Brother Bana was so shaped and home by the time he came to 1947 that he could be trusted with the opening, with the word and the opening of the seal. That man knew exactly, that man knew exactly where he stand with God. No doubt about it. He went through it, but he knew exactly. His foundation was firm, was sure. He knew who he has believed. So Abraham says, he didn't say nothing. He got to the point, God brought him to a point, hey, that whatever I said, you know, he will believe it. Without questioning, are we there yet? I mean, not that God is going to require your child, but I mean, every day, iniquity, decision, simplicity, basic things of life, these little things that we walk every day, you know, how we talk to somebody, how we express ourselves, how do we look when you go to work, when you order food at McDonald's, you know, when you go to Walmart, do you get mad at the cashier because she's taking too long and she's having an attitude, and you're going to reply with the same attitude? That's not going to fix anything. You want to, you know, you want to catch flies, you use honey. Some of you use vinegar. Good luck with that. You want to catch somebody, you have to be sweet. See, Abraham, hey, go and do this. Abraham was to the point. God going to bring us to the same point. You like it or not, if you're a child, God is going to bring us to that point. Where he says, forward, and you forward. You don't look to the right, you don't look to the left, you just forward. I want you to do this. Let's, when? How high you want me to jump? And Abraham says, okay. Because he knew he had a promise. He gave him that son. And if he takes it, somehow, some way he had to return it back to him because he had a promise. And God cannot lie to Abraham. Abraham, he said, you're going to have an inheritance. He's everything in that child. So he takes him over there. I guess he didn't lie to his wife, but he could not tell his wife. His wife would have stopped, you know, the little things. That was not a little thing, but his wife would not understand yet. His wife was not there yet. Later on, she came. When God started dealing with Abraham, he started turning to the bride, to Sarah. But at that time, he's dealing with Abraham. Abraham had to be in that position first, that he can trust God at any time, with anything, all the time. Not when we please like and when we want to do it. It's when he wants to. So, I'll be back, honey. See, he has faith. He just told him to kill the kid. He said, the Lord and I will be back by faith. And that's what we have to do in the time of adversities and problems. What are you going to confess? You know, one of my sisters-in-law, the doctor said, you got cancer. Now she's telling everybody that she got cancer. My wife telling her, oh, stop it. Right. You know, God can do this miracle. God can heal you. Yes. So what are you going to confess when the time comes? You're going to confess this word? You're going to confess what you think? Amen. Abraham says, the Lord and I will be back. Regardless what God said. Because it doesn't matter about him sacrificing. He had a promise. He didn't know how God was going to bring that fulfillment, but he had a promise. Even if he take this one, he still got to fulfill the promise. God cannot lie to Abraham. God cannot lie to you. He will bring you all the way. Regardless what the circumstances are. So he got there and Abraham tell the Lord, okay. He gets there carrying the bundle of wood, and the kid finally says, hey, Dad, it's funny. What's funny, son? I don't know. Are we sacrificing something? Oh, yeah, we're sacrificing something, okay. where is the sacrifice, the animal? Just put the, fix the wood and everything, and let's get everything fixed. He takes him and put him in there. The lad don't even open his mouth. And now he's typifying Christ. You know? And he goes, Abraham. How many of us, we at that point, one of our child, we even attempt to raise, you know, on our own child? This is how Abraham was shaped and molded. And you are not different. You're going to be shaped. I mean, you know how to do that, but you are going to, you know how to go to what Brother Branham way. But in your own way, God is going to shape you. So you can trust them all the way. So Abraham got to that point. He didn't know. He was going to do it. God knew it. What was in the heart? See? He said, stop. Stop. And you know the rest of the story. So, and the wall of the city has 12 foundations, and talking about the apostles, because that's the shadow, you know, that the apostles, you know, the whole Testament was the shadow, you know, the foundation. It wasn't clear, but now we know what all that was looking at. So if God can do that with this, that is all shadow, what do you think he can do now with the real thing? See? So a whole life is based on that foundation that God's been bringing all through the whole Testament. All those warriors, all those prophets, all that that is in the book of 11, what is it, the faith, Hebrew 11, 13, no, that's, he's the same today, 11, faith, you know, and you see what they went through, see, but well, that's the heroes of faith, but that's the shadow. They were typifying what you had to go through. See? Because that is your victory. It says, Malachi 4:6, and he shall turn your heart of your father. I already went through this. And the heart of the children to their father as I come and smite the earth with a curse. So your heart has to be turned to that. That's the foundation. Then 5 said, behold, I will send Elijah. We talked about the prophet before the coming and great and dreadful day of the Lord. You know, God is going to curse the earth. He says he will curse. Why? With destruction. But in the meantime, everything is held back. Because what? Because we're still here. His bride is here. And he's not going to destroy his bride with the wicked. One day when we get out of here, then hell will break loose. It says, Matthew 7:24-25, therefore, whosoever hear this saying of mine, this is Jesus saying, and those them, I will like him unto what? A wise man. Oh, woman. Right now, I'm looking at wise people. And the other wise are not here, but this is the wise people. You have chosen the hard way. You have chosen to be in love with what you really, really love, that is him. And you will do that without questioning. See? He says, saying of man, he built his house upon the rock. See? Like the wise man which built a house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the wind blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not. Even if Satan come as a flood, you can't stand. You're not going to be blown away. You know, I remember the wolf. Oh, that story. Little story when I was a boy. The wolf and the three pigs. Do you have that one in America too? But the first one built the house with hay. You know what happened to hay, right? Well, it's not a good build. The foundation was good. Just he built his life on what? Temporary things. You know? So he comes to the wolf and says, I'm hungry, you know. I'm bad, and I'm hungry. And I'm going to eat you, little piggy. So, and I'm going to huff and puff until I take your house down. And that's where the devil is going, like a roaring lion, huffing and puffing. And he knows who's going to fall. We are not falling. Let it come as a flood. We are the standard. We are the standard because we are the foundation. See, that God is building his church. So you know the story. The other one decided to use wood, you know. Yeah, this foundation is saved, but the house is destroyed. The life that, can you imagine building a life of 60 years and one day it's just consumed, completely gone? Now, if you still believe in Christ, in that day of judgment, the books and books and books were open, and you might get eternal life based on what you did, even though your life was not, you know, according to the word of God. But at least your foundation was sure. See? You might get eternal life based on the works. So, Matthew 7:46 says, "And everyone that hear this saying of mine and does not, and them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man." See, he said it, I didn't say it. "Which built his house upon a sand." The sand is very unstable. Very unstable. You know, can you imagine to live a life, unstable life? You know that I love Christians that are, no, okay, I'm lying. I should not lie. I don't like people that are not stable. You know why? You can count with them. You know, can you be here next day? We got to do some work. Can you? Oh, yeah, I'll be there. But they're so unstable that they come and they forget. You know, I pray for them. I like you. I love everybody. But I'm saying the attitude, I just don't like it. Because you cannot use an unstable Christian. You cannot have them as deacons or any office. Because you don't know if they're going to show or not. Amen. That should tell you something about how we're building our life. We have the right foundation. But what is that foundation on top of the sand? You know, the place that you put your foundation is just as important as the foundation. Because he says you put it on the rock or you put it on the ground, on the sand. You got a good foundation, but when the storm of life comes and the circumstances and the problem, your house is going down. Because they're not stable. James 1:8, it's not, I think I have it over here. Anyway, we quote it. James 1:8 says, "A man that is unstable," I don't think it's here. I don't know if I put it here. Yeah. No. Anyway, a man that is double-minded is what?
Unstable.
Right. Should I go to church? Yeah. No. Either you do it, no, but you stable anyway. Because that's not a question. I don't have that question. When I was bringing my family, nobody asked me, can I stay home? Nobody asked me, can I go to church or not? You know, I got dressed, I got everybody dressed, and we went to church. Nobody questioned me. My kids never questioned me. Why do we have to go to church? If they did, I don't remember anyway. Some of my brain cells are gone anyway. But that wasn't a question. This church today, got ready, got in the car, got all my kids, let's go to church. You know why my kids are the way I am? Because I was an example to them. I hate to say this, but you know, you are God to your children. And you have to shape them. Remember who shaped you and mold you and what kind of a foundation you had to? So if you want your children to do the right things and love God and love his word and have passion for everything, you have to show them. You cannot tell them. You can tell, but you have to show. Tell and show. Because you are a God to them. And whatever you do, they are looking. Christian, one time I was talking to Christian. And I guess he was at the house. And I asked him to do something. And he told me, but you're not my mom. No, don't criticize because he wasn't batting. I know what he meant. Mom has more influence. Because he told me, no, my mom told me this. And I told him something else. But who has more influence on that boy? And it's my grandson. The parents. See? So he told me, no, my mama told me to do this. I said, okay. See, so who got more influence? The grandparents, the friends, or the mom and dad to shape them and mold them? See? So parents, then the kids grow and they get in trouble and they want to blame the church. Who is responsible to shape them and mold them in the way they should go? My responsibility. And I did everything I could in my power to do it. Now, perhaps my son is not around, but he's starting to come around. And I continue interceding. I'm not giving up until the end. I told my son one day, before we departed about 4 years ago, I said, you know, I want you to remember this. I don't care what I said. I don't care what you said. That day, you will be standing next to me. And he just looked at me. And I want you, I said, I want you to remember this. Every time you lay your head in the pillow, you're going to be there with me. Why? Because I claim him to be there with me. See? I'm that sure. But you know why? Because I'm sure his foundation is sure. He cannot lie to me. So, let me see. I'm almost, what time is it? Okay. I'll tell you what. Let me read a few quotes. Let's start with this one. And then a conference we got, 63608. He says, we are at Christmas time. I didn't know. You know what? Okay. Let me put this a little bit. I left my glasses in the car. I don't know where my glasses are. But that's all right. Zoom. Okay. We are at Christmas time, and I didn't know we was getting this time of the day either. I just get lost when I think of the needs of the hour. Oh, Will Harry. Yeah. And we are born into the kingdom, and we Christians who believe and are in the kingdom. Now, over in the book of Hebrew, we read a while ago, for we receive a kingdom, not receive a creed, not receive a system. We receive a kingdom that cannot be moved. Amen. That's my foundation. Amen. So nobody can move me for what I believe. Amen. Okay? Because I know in whom and what I have believed. So the world is falling apart. That's true. And every politician, every denomination, and every church will fall to pieces. Why? The foundation they have built with hay, stubble, and wood. Their own reasoning, their own intellect, their own creed, their own dogma. That will not withstand. I want to say something here. I don't want you to take it wrong. The problem with sometimes from people coming from churches, you know, is that they've been shaped and molded for years. That's not their fault. You know, they've been exposed to somebody else that had their own, what? Ideas. And they are a product of that. They like it or not, they've been under that ministry. And then when they come to someplace else, what happens is that they leave that place, but that place never leave them. The fight is to start in a new place and get rid of all that. And not everybody can do that. It's not an easy thing to do. One time we had a person that came through here. He's not here with us any longer. And I'm just documenting a fact. I'm not criticizing anybody. But Brother Doug used to do the communion and give the bread that was left to the kiddies. The guy got mad because that's not the way they did it in his church. That's not the way he was taught. And he was convinced that that was the way to do it. You're supposed to burn it before the light morning come. But brother says, and he got mad, just picky things. I mean, what is that? Well, the guy is not here with us, just focus that. But where did he bring that from? See, sometimes we are, it's the same thing that we are shaped when we are coming up, growing. We go to other churches, and maybe they don't have everything right. And I don't think we are all right 100%. He's the only that is right. But they start injecting certain ideas, certain doctrine, dogma that are not supported by the Bible. I'm not saying they're wicked, but they got certain things that I don't believe. The return of the prophet, that's not supported by the scriptures. It never happened. Why do they teach it? That's, God allow that. That's not me. Return ministry, thunders, whatever, you take something like that. But people, after a while, because they grew up on that maybe, and they can, years of indoctrination, that works, ask Castro, indoctrination, yeah? Then you start with the fathers, and then you start with the next generation, and the next generation, by the time you go to the third generation, they follow you without questioning. Indoctrinated. For one day they find out that something is not right, something happened to them real bad, now they're out. Now the problem is to get that out of their system, because they are bringing them back to the new place. And I feel for them, because there's a lot of a struggle. Because just like you have to kill all those little things that you don't like in your life, that is part of their life that it has to be. And they have a lot of problems. You just pray. That's all I'm saying. For people like that, because that happens in the real natural life. When you're growing up, you are what you are with whatever you receive and shape. I'm all the same thing. Anyway, we don't have problem with that. I didn't say that because we have problem. I'm saying that because it's a fact. You know, you can take a man out of a church, but you cannot take the church out of the man. Somebody told me, I think it was Brother Green, he says, oh, it's a Puerto Rican. He says, yeah. And the way I talk and do things, he says, and the way I dress, he says, yeah, you can take a Puerto Rican out of Puerto Rico, but you can never take Puerto Rico out of a Puerto Rican. That's true. That's who I am. But I had to, you know, I love Spanish. But in this message, since I've been in this message, I chose to be. Because I understand English. But I prefer Spanish. See, but I did it because my family. You know, what was best for them, not for me. What was best for them. I never taught my children Spanish. Never spoke Spanish in my house when they were growing up. I want them to learn a good language and not two bad languages like me. And people criticize me at home. Wow, you know, your traditions and your proper. No, you know what? I want them to learn something. One good and not two bad ones. I'm illiterate, in two languages. Anyway, whatever, I can pronounce that word. That's how bad I am. We receive the kingdom cannot be moved. The world is falling apart. That's true. It says, for if they who rejected him who spoke from the Mount Sinai and the earth shook beneath his voice, how much more see that you don't reject who? Him. Iniquity. You know, make the right decision. Don't never reject the word. He says, the word speaks from heaven, from his kingdom, heavenly places. That's where you get your orders. Not from me, not from man, not from church. You get in your order straight from heavenly places. The world is falling apart, the truth. And every politician, every denomination, every church will fall to pieces, but we receive a kingdom that cannot be moved for the... Yet, it says him and his word that speak from heaven, from his kingdom. For we are in a kingdom that cannot be moved. Amen. This earth is not my home. Amen. This earth is going to be destroyed. Amen. I belong to a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Amen. That will live forever. So whatever happens here happens. But I am an alien, not from the other side. I'm an alien from another world. Okay. Don't mean anything by it. Just. It says, for they who rejected him, says, who? Him. Okay. Amen. Everything that outside of the, of that, God sent everything. He said, he made it fragile or fragile so it would break. Who? You or me? We are made out of what? Earth. You know? Vessels of what? Of mud. You know, they make adobe and stuff like that. You know that you think you can hold a lot. You can be easy breakable. Your spirit, your emotions, your mind. You know, you are fragile. But God has put in you something that will pressurize you to something point that you can withstand anything that comes to you. But as a human being, you can be broken. Because we think we are supermans and we think we're going to do all these things, but you know, that's just our own imagination. You know, we are heroes in our own imagination. But we are not. This flesh is so, you know. It says, fragile condition like that is God to break. It's fragile, yes. But remember, we got a kingdom that is solid now. When everything else falls and gives away, no wonder any parent whatever it said, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other grounds is seeking sun, a kingdom, not politician system. We don't do politics here. We don't do what is politically correct. We do what is correct by the word of God. If you need something like that, it's not here. We don't go by politics, he says. He says, no politician system, no political system, no church system. We don't have a church system here. We don't have an organization. The only we organize, but we don't have an organization. See, we don't have a creed or a dogma, something that we dominate. You know, the domination is to denominate. You know, when you are doing fractions, you have a common denominator. Every church denomination has a common denominator that they said, this is what we believe, and this is what we have to protect, and anything away from this is wrong. See, we don't have a common denominator. The only denominator that we have is called Jesus Christ, the rock. That's my, and if that is your common denominator, my common denominator, we should debug nicely. See, that's our common denominator. It says, or Christ, it says, not a system. It all becomes Pharisees, you know, the actors. Like I was saying, don't act. Don't cover. Uncover. No, don't cover. Don't pretend to be something that you are not. If you are not, just come on. Here's the thing. Let's pray for you. Amen. We love you. We want you to be sure. You know, he's sure. I want you to be sure of your election and your calling. It's 8 o'clock. Finish this thing and I'm done. He says, not politics, no system, no church system, no denominational system. It has become Pharisees and doctors of the devil. Oh my goodness, I didn't say it. He said it. Now people are preaching the gospel and people are getting saved. I'm receiving Christ. There are miracles and people need that. I'm not talking against, you know, one time Jesus was here in the pool of Bethesda and here the water will be moved and, you know, people were still, that's ministry. He didn't criticize the ministry. Just because God is with us, Christ is with us, that don't mean God is not doing nothing with nobody else. There's certain things out there that God is still doing because God is a respected person. You know, he don't respect him. If a church says what we did in that day, they said, well, we preach the gospel. We have miracles, wonders, healings, mission work, big churches. Yeah, but depart from me. I don't what? I don't know you. You were not in my mind at the beginning. You didn't come out of here. But anyway, I honor that because that was word. God will respect his word. But what is not his word, he cannot back it up. So sooner or later, well, you know, the devil wants it to be like God. And he is in churches. They don't want to believe that. Don't tell him that. They get mad that you tell him that. They're worshiping the devil without knowing it. But it's hard, but it's the truth. So he says, the devil. But we receive a kingdom, an eternal king who is eternal word, who has eternal life. By his eternal word to his eternal people who has eternal life, and we are partakers of that life. My future is so bright that I'm going to have to wear shades because I'm getting it blinds. I mean, my future is not too far now. It's close. But my future is so bright that that's what I told Brother Doug, that I have to come to church with shades because I cannot stand it. People ask me, how do you feel today? I say, I don't know, but I feel so good that if it gets better, I'm leaving here because I can hardly take it, you know? When the Lord comes, you know, and do the things he do. But here is what God will judge them by. The what? The word. God is a just God. Not by denomination, not by the message, not by the Catholic, not by the Baptist, but he's going to judge people by what? By his word. That's the standard. I don't care what you believe. I don't care what I believe. I care what he believes. Because that is the standard. Everything else is sun. It says, heavens and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never fail. Upon this, I take my stand. I don't care who criticizes me. I don't care if I lose my friends. I don't care if I lose my family. I don't care what I have to lose, like Abraham and Job. I will lose it all. See? As long and I know that I'm standing with him. Because at the end, he will restore everything to me. Job, he restored everything double and all his family that he such a pray for, he had it. And I might not get my family completely here, but I tell you one thing, I'm praying and I'm going to get my family there. Amen. Because God promised that to me. Amen. Upon this, I take my stand. All the ground is what? Sinking sand. So stand. Anything that you can come up that is not the word is sinking sand. Any excuses, anything that comes against the world, any imagination, anything that you can make up, if you could make up something that looks good, still sinking sand. The only thing that is worse is the word of God. Amen. And that is our foundation. My foundation is what I believe. And I just told you what I believe. And I told you that I'm passionate about what I believe. I'm so passionate that I don't care if I lose it all, as long as I can gain him. That is all that matters in my life. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. And you know our hearts, Father. Maybe we cannot express the things that we want to express the way they should be expressed. But I know one thing. You know my heart. And that is good enough for me. Sometimes my mind don't say the things the way it should be said. Or maybe it's said a little bit different. But one thing I know. You know what is in my heart. You know my desire. You know my passions. You know my faults. You know my shortcomings. You know everything that of myself. But in your hands I trust myself. Father, I trust you. And I will do as much as I know what to do, Father, to gain that eternal life. Father, not because I'm worthy and I deserve it, just because you call. You made me worthy. And I am so glad, Father. One time, I wasn't looking for it. God, I wasn't looking. You have mercy, whoever you have mercy. I didn't know, and it was I didn't know it was a message, but I'm so glad that you, in your infinite wisdom, call me to this precious message, Father. I thank you, Father. Father, I remember what Paul said. Paul says, he loved you so much and he loved the people so much. He says, I will give my salvation. He couldn't do that. But he said, I will give my salvation for the Jew. And you know, and that's why we are here together, Father. We love each other in such a way that even if we had to give our life for someone else, that is what a friend is for, Father. And you don't have to give your life physically. Sometimes deny yourself of those things, you know, that we crave for, lust for, leave them alone. See? Sacrifice ourselves, carry our cross daily so we can follow you, Father. But see, we don't have to do that ourselves. We just need to yield our members to you and let you take control. Father, and that is our prayer tonight. Take control, Father. You call, you started the work, and you will finish it. Just let me surrender to you tonight and have your way, Father. It's what I want. You know my heart. You know our hearts. We love you, Lord, and we want to please you. We want to do what we want to, whatever this you desire is what we desire tonight. But when we fall, Father, thank you. Because you still make it a way for me to get up, ask forgiveness, and move forward. And tonight, as I said when I begin the service, this week as we go examine, let's examine our heart, let's examine our walk, our journey in life, find out where those little things are that sometimes we stumble right into. Lord, because we don't want them. Those little things are the ones that we're going to get in trouble for, not the big things. So help us, Lord, as we walk in this journey, we go to work. Maybe it's at work, maybe it's my boss, maybe it's at school, maybe it's my teacher or the bully, or maybe it's this. I don't know. God has a way to test. Put things in your way to see if you're going to stumble or you're going to move. Amen. With his word. We thank you tonight, Father, and we ask you to be with Brother Doug, Father, the families, wherever they are, just rest them. They need a rest in their body. That man likes to work hard, and so I'm preaching hard. And just give him a nice time and a rest and a refreshing and a new step and a new spring in his foot, Father, when he comes back, Father, that he will be ready to continue this journey. Be with their family and be with those that are out, and they're going to be out. And keep them safe, Lord. Protect them, Father. Remove any obstacle that Satan will want to put in their way. Father, until they will meet again. In Jesus' name, we ask you all these things. Amen. Amen. And amen. Thank you.